The Minister for Finance has described as very significant a COVID-19 rescue package agreed last night by European Union governments. Under the plan, €500 billion in soft loans will be available to member states to tackle the crisis. The deal, hammered out after days of negotiations, doesn't include the issuing of so-called corona bonds, but according to Pascal Donoghue, is nevertheless a very important step forward. The chair of the Eurogroup, Mario Centeno of Portugal, announced the agreement, but said the package would be temporary.
This response contains bold and ambitious proposals that would have been unthinkable just a few weeks ago. We can all remember the response to the financial crisis of the last decade, when Europe did too little, too late. This time around is different.
The chair of the Eurogroup, Mario Centeno. Let's talk now to Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, who joins us. A very good morning to you, Minister, and thanks for talking to us on the programme.
Good morning, Brian.
Unthinkable. That was the phrase that the chair of the Eurogroup used just now to describe this package. What's involved and what can the funds be used for?
So there are three, excuse me, Brian, there are three different elements to this package. The first is a plan to make loans available to countries who find themselves getting into really big difficulty regarding their ability to fund healthcare in response to COVID-19. And that is through a fund called the European Stability Mechanism that has been available to Ireland in the past. The second element of this is a plan for companies, and this is using the European Investment Bank to make money available to companies at low interest rates to help them respond back to COVID-19. And then the final element of it, which is for workers, is a plan to help countries pay for wage subsidy schemes that they have in operation, such as we have in Ireland. So three different strands to it: a plan for governments, a plan for workers, and a plan for employers.
Is it your view that Ireland will need to draw on these funds from the point of view of the government accessing it?
It's very possible that we will need access to some elements of this. In particular, the funding that has been made available to the European Investment Bank, which in turn will then be available for loans for European employers. This is the kind of loans and facility that we have accessed in the past, for example, in getting ready for Brexit. Secondly, what we will be evaluating is whether it is worth our while accessing the programme to help fund wage subsidy schemes. The final element of it, which is the European Stability Mechanism, we would be working not to use that. Because that is a fund that will be available to countries who face really exceptional difficulties in paying for the costs of COVID-19. And earlier this week, Brian, we were in a position where to sell over €6 billion worth of funding for our country in the future at a very low interest rate, which reflects the quality we have had in our national finances. So in short, we will use some of these facilities, but that there are other elements of us we would aim not to have to use.
What's the situation now in relation to the suggestion for corona bonds? This would effectively be the EU taking on debts which would be incurred by individual member states. That was opposed by the Dutch and by the Germans. Are they now off the menu? Because there is this talk of some sort of recovery fund in the future.
Yeah, that's the case, Brian. And from the point of view of Ireland, our ongoing view over the last number of years is that it is first and foremost the responsibility of individual countries to manage their national finances carefully and their debt carefully, because every country doing that properly creates opportunities for all of us and minimises risks for all of us. After discussing this matter with the Taoiseach, both of us felt very strongly that the situation is so exceptional that we do need to look at finding some new ways of helping our European friends and neighbours who face the greatest of difficulty at the moment, conscious that for all of us, we are still working to avoid the worst of COVID-19 in the future. That led to the idea of corona bonds. What has basically happened is the need that these bonds looked to address, some of that has been addressed in a different way now, through using the European Stability Mechanism in the way you asked about earlier on, through providing loans in another way for governments. But you're right, in the package, there is a support for a new recovery fund. And prime ministers will be meeting in the coming week to discuss that further. And then finance ministers will meet next week again to look at that and a number of other matters.
We had this warning last evening from the IMF that this recession could be the greatest economic crisis faced by the globe since the Great Depression. Now, I wonder, do you have any reason to doubt that analysis? And what does that mean here for the supports that were announced just a few weeks ago for business and for jobs? Is it likely that those will have to be extended in some form beyond the 12-week timescale? Beyond the end of June?
I've little reason to doubt what the IMF have said. And the reason for that is because this virus is global in nature. The economic impact, tragically, will also be global in nature. And what is also different versus other difficulties we've successfully dealt with in the past is the huge speed with which that change has happened. All that being said, I'm resolutely confident that our country can create a new economy to get us back to work, to get incomes growing again, to fund really good public services. I'm certain we're going to be able to do that, Brian, but we have a journey ahead of us, which we will complete to do it. To answer your question, therefore, about the supports that we announced there a number of weeks ago, we'll keep them under review. And if they need to be changed to deal with the prolonged effect of COVID-19 in our country, we'll look at doing that. If they need to be changed as we get ready for recovery, we will do that as well. Mm. We now have over 200,000 workers, for example, on the wage subsidy scheme. Mm. We are paying up to 70% of their wages directly on behalf of their employer to keep people working, to keep them having a relationship with their employer. Mm. And they're the kind of things that are having a really big impact that we may need to change and strengthen.
We're expecting for the current restrictions to be extended for a further period when the emergency team meets today. And I suppose from the point of view of business, what they're perhaps most looking for now is some indication of a way back to normality, a pathway, if you like, to getting back up and running again. Can you give them any indication, not necessarily of when we might begin that, but the conditions under which it might begin to happen?
Well, what we will be looking at are the criteria that have been outlined to the country on a number of occasions from a public health point of view. The guiding principle that we as a government have is to be guided by our public health experts who have been so clear in helping us get through this great challenge. But every day, Brian, you and all of your listeners are aware of the tragic number of citizens who've lost their lives, the number of families who this morning are grieving, who never expected to be in these circumstances. So the kind of factors that we will be looking at is what is the transmission mechanism of the virus? In other words, how quickly and to whom is it spreading? What is the capacity of our public health service? And where are we with the number of new cases of the virus that are detected and our ability to detect them? But overall, if we want to bring the change to these guidelines closer and closer, my overriding message to all of your listeners is the way in which we do that is we implement the guidance that has been given today. And that is why this weekend is so important, because it offers another opportunity to cage the spread of this disease across our country.
Right. Just a final question, briefly, if possible, on government formation. We're expecting this document from your own party, Fine Gael, and Fianna Fáil today. Will it provide the basis on which smaller parties and independents could sign up to support a new government?
Well, I think there's a number of stages before we get to that point, Brian. The first one is whatever document or whatever principles the two parties are able to agree today amongst themselves will then have to be sent to their party leaders. And in our case, the Taoiseach will have to examine that and form a view as to whether this is something that he feels is a basis for going forward on. And I'm sure the same will happen in Fianna Fáil. But then when that is done, the way I would see it is I hope this will provide a basis upon which we can have discussions with other parties. It is so imperative that when and if a new government is formed, It is one that has a stable majority. But more to the point, it does reflect the views, the ideas, the hopes, the anxieties that we heard on February the 8th. Mm. And that is why we believe it is imperative that there are more than two political parties in this government. And it is my great hope that the work that the two parties are crafting together at the moment in Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil can offer an inclusive platform for the beginning of a discussion. But our own two parties and our party leaders will need to form a final view on that in the coming days.
Very good. Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, thank you for talking to us this morning on Morning Ireland.